Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's going on? The Grave Consequences Podcast. This is your boy Shane Swerve Strickland, but secretly, some people might refer to me as Killshot from Lucha Underground. I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm doing a nice little drop for you guys. Thank you guys for supporting the Swerve brand. And I hear that y'all doing a Lucha Underground review on the Social Suplex Network. Man, y'all might have just stumbled upon the best match in Lucha Underground history, in my opinion. You know, Killshot versus Dante Fox. We made history that night, and to this day, I don't think anybody has been able to top what we did in that match in any other promotion across the industry. That match still holds a great place in my heart, and of course, Fox would definitely agree with me. So, thank you guys for reviewing a wonderful, wonderful, amazing, one of the top five matches of my entire wrestling career. Hope you guys enjoy it. This is a drop. Shout out the Grave Consequences Podcast. Enjoy the show and be confident in everything you do. And thank you. Thank you for supporting whose house? Swerve's house.
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to the Grave Consequences Podcast. Of course, a part of the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Rate, review, and subscribe. Pardon me, follow on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars is always appreciated. My name is Caleb Baldwin. Follow me on Twitter at I am Caleb B. That's I am Caleb and then another B. Follow my friend, co-host, and producer Greg at X Maserati. Follow the show at GC underscore cast. And as always, check me out every Wednesday night right after AEW Dynamite on Eddie and Caleb's HeroCast. This week, we are reviewing The Avengers. That's right, 2012, Joss Whedon. Good stuff. And but enough about that. Let's talk about what me and Greg are here to review. We're here to review season 3, episode 18 of Lucha Underground. The working title is Evil Rising. What a name. Sounds like a shitty, like, Canadian horror film from the late 2000s.
Wasn't there a wrestler called Terror Rising?
That was literally Triple H's indie name.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
My brain is mush, so like wrestling is just like the multiverse of madness, only involving time and my recollection of random events.
Yes. I mean, it's going to be really dated because this comes out on June.
This will come out June 6th or 8th.
June 9th.
Okay.
Either way, did you see Multiverse of Madness?
No, because I'm going to say something very that people will get upset about, but I don't really care for Sam Raimi as a director.
Okay. You're entitled to your opinion. That's fine.
The funny thing is, I might like it because it sounds like it's like Rick and Morty, like it's just wildly violent and just random, but
That is pretty close to true, yes.
Oh, you already saw it?
Yes. Yeah, of course I did.
What'd you think? Opening week.
It was great, man. I enjoyed it. It's not as good as Spider-Man No Way Home. But it's better than Morbius and far better than Eternals, so that's all I can ask for.
Yeah, when it comes to Marvel movies, because I am a legitimate, I grew up reading the comics, so like, and I'm not one of those fans that just likes everything Marvel puts out, just because I'm not, you know, I think you and me, we take pride in not being tribalist, like we don't believe in tribalism, we're not going to defend something just because we like it, regardless of its quality. Yeah. I have a lot of problems with Marvel movies. I thought No Way Home was fine, but I had some problems with it. I would still watch it again because it's still enjoyable, but I'm super critical of Spider-Man movies just because I was at one point, he was one of my favorite superheroes, and there's, you know, I'm anytime a movie comes out, I'd be like, oh, I didn't like they made this change, or I don't like that change. It's unavoidable. Like, if you like something, you're going to be protective of it, of your what you had. Yeah, like, don't even ask me about the Ninja Turtles. But I'm very critical of the Marvel movie. So, like, it's, and then when you throw Sam Raimi in it, because he did No Way Home, I don't know. I like his first two movies, not his first two movies, but the two popular movies, Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2. But, you know, yeah, a lot of people love Evil Dead 3. I am kind of like, ugh. To me, yeah, because it's too, like, I don't like this about Josh Whedon. I don't like this. And that kind of bled into the comics too, where it's too quirk. You know, people get quirky and campy, and then it gets randomly dark for no reason. It's just, you know, I'm very critical of it, and I know people would get upset about that, but that's how I feel about some of that stuff.
Yeah. Either way, we're going to get right into the episode here. The first thing we see is Jeremiah Crane simping hardcore over Katrina. He's like, hey, like, come on, I beat him. What's going on? Let me beat Cheeks. What's going on?
Yeah, he's basically like me and e-girls on TikTok, so I can relate.
I beat the man that you love. Katrina says, Mill isn't the man I love.
Are we okay with saying who the man she loves is? Because I believe I know the answer, and I'm pretty sure you know the answer.
I think I know the answer, but for now we're gonna keep it on the kayfabe.
I'll tell you off the air then.
Awesome. Metalachi plays us in. And first match of the night, Sexy Star versus the Mariposa. And the first thing I wrote down was the Mariposa has Sexy by the legs. She's got a good handle on her. And she is swinging her into the announce table multiple times, not even dropping her, not even putting her down, just several times, like 3-4 times. It was insane. An insane show of strength and also athleticism from Sexy Star as well.
Mariposa, cheerleader Melissa, is one of those female wrestlers that's never going to get the recognition she deserves.
Yes,
she's absolutely great.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. let's see here.
Did I break your brain with that?
You did not. You're right, man. You're right. Sexy Star ultimately does get the win with a top rope double stomp, and she leaves the ring and she's holding both of her arms, man. Like she's got two sore shoulders, you know?
Who, Sexy Star?
Yes. Yes.
I didn't notice. Yeah. Was Mariposa working her shoulders or her arms throughout the match?
I mean, you know, she kind of worked over like most of her upper body. I mentioned, you know, the shots into the booth.
It was a fight. It was a brawl, which they're very good at in Lucha Underground.
It always is with those two.
Yeah.
Like we remember the No Moss match. Like, yeah, it's not a shock. After the match, Marty runs to the ring to comfort his sister, and then he hits her with a Uranagi. Wild card, bitches.
It was weird that he did that. Did they ever explain why he did that, or just he's crazy?
I mean, maybe we'll get an explanation later on in the season. I can't remember. I did write down blah, 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 and then he hits her with a Uranagi, and then my next sentence was just Charlie Kelly. I was trying to remember why I wrote Charlie Kelly, and that quote I said earlier is why.
Yeah, it really felt like they were trying to get sympathy for Mariposa, but, I mean, it's no spoiler. She never becomes a good guy, so it was really weird. Yeah.
Simpy. We're going to call it Simpy, just like Scott Steiner would. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, but I don't really understand, but sure.
It's just Scott Steiner had trouble speaking.
I can, well, yeah.
And
but that's what made him so good.
Exactly. Yeah, he would just ramble and yell and get all angry.
Do you know how many non-wrestling fans love the math promo?
Yeah, of course. It's great.
It's infamous.
Why wouldn't they? Yeah. Scott Steiner is transcendent, is what I'm being told.
You're being told right.
Yes. Masquerita Sagrada is hitting some curls when the Rabbit Tribe come in to bow to him. Like, this is the guy. Like, that's the guy. I got strong. You've seen Superbad, I assume.
Yeah, a while ago.
Okay. Do you remember the scene when Michael Cera's character is hiding out from the party in like a bedroom of some sort. And these guys, these coked up guys come into the room. They're like, "You're the singer. You're the guy. You're the guy. Sing for us. That guy. That's you." And then Michael Cera poorly sings These Eyes by the Guess Who. Do you remember that at all?
It's been a long time. I know the scene you're talking about, but it's been a while since I've seen it.
I mean, I'm going to send it to you after just because it's hilarious to me. But that's the vibe I get from this. Like, Masquerita has no idea what's going on. He even says, like, before he leaves, he's like, "Tú estás loco," which means you're crazy, is what that means, by the way.
Yeah, and if I remember, they kind of drag this along a little bit, but the White Rabbit tribe is worth it.
Yes, I hope so. I certainly hope so. Speaking of the Rabbit Tribe, up next, we've got Mala Suerte, Santadora, and Paul London, of course, the White Rabbit Tribe, versus Cobra Moon, Pindar, and Vibora. And the tribe, of course, dances around Melissa during their introduction. Drago, by the way, joins the match in Cobra Moon's stead because he's basically become her little slave, her little pet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Matt Stryker says, "You don't want to piss off Cobra Moon."
Oh,
and yeah, I was very irritated. I was pissed off.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
I agree. The Rabbit Tribe get to be silly for a little while, but it doesn't last, especially when Vibora comes in and he hits the Tombstone, a.k.a., and I like this name, the Snake Bite.
Yeah, they do... Lucha Underground does this very well in that they have the White Rabbit Tribe come in, get their moves over. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing wrong with just basic wrestling, like, you know, old school, like, get in there, get your moves over. And, you know, and but then the Reptile Tribe, they win. They get the clean win after a lot of shenanigans and getting from the White Rabbit Tribe. I mean, I think that's where the mentality of, you know, wins and losses don't really matter. I think that's the most legitimate reasoning for that is as long as you get your moves over, as long as you get your spots and your gimmick over, it kind of doesn't matter. It's only when you're not doing any of that and you're still getting buried, which does happen to people. But, you know, it doesn't, you don't feel like they're buried after they lose. I mean, they're the White Rabbit Tribe. They're all really high, you know, Alice in Wonderland type gimmick, and they lost to like dragons and demons and shit. So I mean, it's not, and Drago, who's already established.
Yeah, it's not a bad group to lose to, but yeah. Snakebite, Cobra Moon orders Drago to finish him. Springboard swinging neckbreaker, and the Reptile Tribe get the dub.
You know, he's done that move before a lot, and I think this was the smoothest and best it's looked, because it's never been really that impressive to me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. But I noticed, what was that move he... The Dragon's Tail.
Yes, the pin.
That's really cool.
Yeah, Darby does something like that, right?
I believe so, yeah. Where it's you basically just kind of disorient your opponent more than anything.
I mean, it's a pin. Like, you... It's not like a, and I don't even mind schoolboys, but it's not like a basic roll up. Like it would be hard to kick out of. Like it's clearly like a victory roll or even a, Zack Sabre Jr. type of, you know, clutch. Like it's impressive.
You're impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of impressive, the trios, two thirds of the trios champions, all of the trios champions. Phoenix and Aerostar show up. They run in to attack Pindar and Vibora. And as they're fighting with them, Cobra Moon, by the way, Drago's trying to join. So he's not all the way like, you know, the Stockholm Syndrome has not entirely taken hold because he's trying to join the fight and Cobra Moon won't let him because she's got the leash on him. The chain, rather. And Cobra Moon's like basically choking him. Like his back is to the ropes. Is, you know, his head's like hanging out the ring because, of course, you know where the chain's at. But Drago eventually is able to join, but he then, like, after they neutralize.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Pindar and Vibora, Drago pushes himself off of the trio's champions.
Yeah, he's got a dominatrix that's pretty, you know, demanding, and he's got to choose between his bros and you know, his goth mommy. So we'll see what happens.
You know, it's bros before hoes here at Grave Consequences, but, you know, we'll see what Drago ends up choosing.
Yeah, not everyone's as noble as us, unfortunately.
Exactly. After this, Sexy Star runs into the Mac, and the Mac declines Sexy Star's help because Sexy Star wanted to offer it to him because she's seen the light and realized how dumb it was to go it alone against Johnny Mundo.
Now it's his turn to be dumb.
But it is the Mac's turn to be dumb. He's like, no, I got to do this on my own. And, yeah. Cool.
I don't know if you saw it, but he didn't. And this will be late news for people listening, but for me and you, it's May 11th. But I don't know if you saw it, but the Max contract expired. And he didn't renew with Impact.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's going to be a free agent, if not already.
Okay, interesting. Wonder if WWE won't sign him. I wonder if AEW will, or if he'll go like the NWA or MLW route.
I think the boat is passed for that. There's only as far as Lucha Underground wrestlers in AEW, only two have really survived. And Helico's still there. Jack Phoenix. Evans. Phoenix and Pentagon, yeah.
Yeah.
But like Cage, I mean, they still have him under contract, and I guess they're planning to do something with him, but.
He's a Ring of Honor guy.
Did he go back to Ring of Honor?
At this, what do you mean back to? He'd never been to Ring of Honor. But, like, no, he did the Supercard show, and it seems like that's where most of his work's going to be done. But Ring of Honor doesn't even really exist right now. Like, it looks like it's about to start existing again, but it's not yet. Like, they don't have their own TV show. They occasionally get title matches on Battle of the Belts or whatever, but, you know, nothing huge like that.
It's been rough for Lucha Underground wrestlers, and it's really sad because they all deserve. I mean, we saw there was like a dark match of Marty, and he just didn't come back. And it's like, I hope there's nothing backstage that's their problem, because these are really great wrestlers, and they all, you know, even Elise, it was sad to see her go. I mean, even though I believe it was her being her own worst enemy, but she's a very great female wrestler.
Exactly. By the way, after Sexy Star runs into the Mac, Dario comes to the Mac and he's like, hey, you're not winning the belt tonight because tonight's not for the title. But it is a big match. The winner of this gets to pick the stipulation of your title match. And as the Mac leaves, he drops a solid Arnold Schwarzenegger level one-liner. Always bet on Mac.
Oh, wow. I even missed that.
Big pop.
Didn't he just say the quote from, was it Passenger 57?
I wouldn't know.
That's where it's from. Always bet on black.
Oh, really?
It's Wesley Snipes. Yeah.
Okay. That would make sense.
Yeah, I don't know why he didn't just say that. It would have been.
It would also make sense because the Mac is African American.
Yeah. I mean, I just. Yeah. They went really hard for a really court. I mean, all right, I'll say this. If Mac were, and you said this before, he's terrible speaking.
He is not a good actor, no.
If he were better at delivery, yeah, that would have been funny, but it's not because he's not.
Exactly. So the story of this match is interference. The Mac hits a stunner. Rick Knox takes a bump. Sit-out powerbomb. Realistically, like, by the crowd count, got 8.
Yeah.
But by the count that matters, the count of Rick Knox, it only got 2. We get some interference here. The Worldwide Underground come out. Jack Evans and PJ Black. Johnny Mundo low blow, and a pin. And Johnny Mundo just won, so Johnny Mundo gets to choose the stipulation. This main event was short, and that's probably for a very good reason, especially considering the stipulation that Johnny's going to choose in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, they're saving the best for last. I mean, they're just trying to get over the fact that, I mean, it was really only for that spot you were just speaking about where he gets an 8 count on Johnny Mundo. They're trying to get it in the fans' head that, like, hey, the Mac can beat Johnny Mundo. And that's all this match is for, is to get that thought in your head so that the next match you're like, unless Johnny does something crazy, Mac's getting that title. That, and that's exactly what they're trying to do.
Exactly. The Mac's arms are being outstretched. He's got boots to the head. I believe he, he can't move. Johnny Mundo is talking so much shit. Johnny's just like, hey, Mac, you suck, bro.
I'd pop when he said that, though. He does talk mad shit on him. He buries does. Him.
He's great. And it's like the way Johnny talks the shit. It's so casual. It's just like a matter of fact, you know?
It seemed authentic because he didn't just come up with some long-winded wrestling promo. He's like, yo, dude, you suck.
Yeah, you suck, bro. And he's like, you know, you couldn't even, he's still outstretched. He's got to look at him, but he can't touch him. He can't move. He can't even crawl towards him. But he's got to hear what Johnny has to say. And Johnny says, you know, you couldn't even last 10 minutes tonight. And the next time we fight, I'm taking your fat ass to Slamtown all night long. Johnny then curb stomps the Mac. And then him and the boys triple curb stomp the Mac. So, in the near future, we've got Johnny Mundo versus the Mac for the Lucha Underground Championship all night long. For those of you that need a refresher, this was a match in Season 1 that is essentially an Iron Man match. It is one match in one show.
It was it's very interesting because they like I just said, they get it in your head that, hey, Mac can beat Johnny Mundo unless he does something crazy, because, you know, you have the visual pin of him getting the 8 count. But then they immediately show all of Worldwide Underground just dominating him. So they're showing you two possible outcomes. Either the Mac wins through, you know, credible talent, or Johnny Mundo wins through cheating. And they show you the two different outcomes. So now the drama is which will trump the other, you know?
And sadly, in wrestling, it's usually the latter.
Yes.
Yes. After this, oh my God, this was like straight up. It was wild how this happened, because Worldwide Underground's in there, the Mac's in there. All of a sudden, we hear the beginning of Mil Muertes' theme. And, you know, like, that strikes fear into the hearts of anyone. That you hear that, Katrina and Mil Muertes come out next. Worldwide Underground runs off. The Mac's rolled out of the ring. Mil Muertes, as he's coming down the steps, stops. And then just beats the crap out of Vampiro at the earlier suggestion of Katrina. Prince Puma then stalks down the steps. Vampiro is in the ring. Puma is on the apron. Vampiro orders Puma to stop for some reason. And Mil puts down Vampiro with a flatliner.
Good. Mil is my favorite.
This is the second time that Prince Puma has had to stare as Mil Muertes has gotten the better of his mentor.
You know, I think, I'm not sure if it was this episode or the previous, but there's one moment where, I think it was at the start of the episode, Vamp goes to Matt and goes, hey, whatever's between me and Puma stays between me and Puma.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
And it's just so obnoxious because, as I've said before, it's that, you know, person that's like, I don't want to talk about it. And they just mope, you know, to kind of entice people to ask them about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, at this point, like, you know, we're kind of a broken record, but it's just so obnoxious the way Vamp creeps in the storylines. Like, you can see some justification for helping build up Puma to face Rey Mysterio again, but he already was on a winning streak.
Yeah. Exactly, exactly. But yeah, I just like the idea that this has happened to Puma not once but twice. his mentor has just been, well, in the case of Conan, killed by Mil Muertes. And in the case of Vampiro, just badly beaten.
Yeah.
And he's to stare at it as it happened, and he couldn't do anything. Well, he could have done something here, and he just didn't.
I'm going to be honest with you. Even if Vampiro was my, you know, master, I probably wouldn't. I'd be like, oh, I wish I could go in there, but my master told me not to. Oh, no. Like, Yeah. Not sure how much of a rush I'm in there. I mean, it's Vampiro. He'll be fine.
Well, I mean,
he got set on fire by Pentagon and dropped on concrete. He'll be all right.
Are you sure?
I don't know. I mean, he's as right, all right as he'll ever be.
Fair enough. Yeah. You ever watch Arrested Development?
Yes.
He's all right.
Which skit is that from?
It's after Buster had his hand bitten off by a loose seal.
Oh my goodness.
The literal doctor. He's all right.
Oh.
No. He had his left hand bitten off. He's all right.
That doctor was a great skit in itself.
Oh man. Yeah. Sorry, I know that's a deep cut from a show that came out like 20 years ago. But that being said, let's grade this episode that came out 6 years ago. This was better than the last one we recorded. And that being said, I really enjoyed the story of the main event. That last segment with Mil Muertes and Vampiro and all them. Sexy and Mariposa was pretty good. And yeah, I'm going to give this a B, an even B, 85.
I know it's going to be kind of weird. This is what happens when you compare. I think this even happens to Meltzer, like when you rate something and then later you got to compare the rating to your next rating. And they're just not very comparable. I have to go with C+ just because it's good, but I don't know. There is I don't know. I'm just gonna go C+, I guess.
That's fine. That just tells me that, you know, last week's episode was more your style, whereas this week's episode was more my style.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with this episode, and I do like the White Rabbit tribe. But that is really what it comes down to. I really did like the Jeremiah Crane versus Mil match, and I really do like Tejano versus Cage. And this one, you know, the Rabbit Tribe, I normally do like, but it was probably my favorite match of this episode. And other than that, like Mac versus Johnny Mundo, I like the Mac, but I never really saw him as a credible threat to Johnny Mundo.
Yeah.
And what was the opening match again?
Sexy Star and Mariposa.
Yeah, I don't really care about Sexy Star. Never really. I mean, she's good. It's just, you know, like when a wrestler's over and it's just not, you don't care.
Yeah.
Like, that's how, like, I'm, for example, like, I'm big on Hangman, but I don't care about CM Punk. Even though I like CM Punk, it's just, I don't care.
That's fine. I understand. Well, folks, just know that if you decide that your maestro is Vampiro, you just might suffer grave consequences.